It is top news today, tomorrow, through the weekend, the extreme heat that we are dealing with. There is an extreme heat warning actually in effect this afternoon through Friday evening. Hottest days are going to be tomorrow and Friday, but the heat continues even into next week. But this heat wave we're in, this extreme hot weather protocol, that will remain in effect through Sunday. And we want to remind people, if you need a cooling center, please call 211 or go to 211ct.org. But we also wanted to check in with our partners at the American Red Cross Connecticut chapter. Richard Brannigan is back with us, CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut and Rhode Island region, because you guys are actually putting out advisories with summer heat just in general, but also as the extreme heat is here and people are certainly traveling. I mean, these warnings are actually in effect for a lot of the country. So whether you're here in Connecticut or traveling for especially the holiday week, definitely some things to think about. Welcome back, Richard. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, of course. So we're going to break them down into different categories, if that's okay with you, doing some heat safety, swimming safety, beach safety. How does that sound?
Sure. That sounds
perfect.
Great. All
right.
Thank you.
Of course. I got you, my guy. So let's start with heat safety. What is the Red Cross recommending when it comes to extreme heat? There are three steps in particular.
Yeah, three very simple steps. Stay cool, stay hydrated, and stay informed. You just heard the forecast from Paul Bjork. Those are the forecasts you need to listen to. Watch out for thunderstorms that may be coming through the area as the temperatures rise, and, you know, stay in touch with those people you care about, making sure they're following the protocols as well. So very simple steps: stay cool, stay hydrated, and stay informed. And by hydrated, you know, depends on your activity. The more active you are, the more water and other drinks you should be taking care of. And that is not, you know, it's a sports drink, not an energy drink that you should be concentrating on. So limit activity if you need to. Stay in the shade, stay in a cool place, but stay cool, stay hydrated, and stay informed.
And as far as when you're, you know, the other thing we were talking about is before we get to kind of swimming and beach safety, you know, with the heat, understanding how hot your car gets in a matter of minutes. Obviously, not leaving a kid in a car or a pet in the car, but even just for us driving, you know, what do you recommend, Richard, as far as, you know, if you're leaving, you know, do you kind of let the car kind of start to cool down a little bit? Do you know anything in particular people should be thinking about with hot cars as well?
I think so. My rule of thumb is I will crank the windows down. I'll run the air conditioning before I start to pull out. Let it come down to a temperature that's reasonable. And then get on your way. And again, prepare yourself when you're making that journey, making sure that your car is in decent shape, your tires are inflated, and take some water with you just in case you get stuck in traffic or you have to detour for some reason or your journey is longer than normal. So making sure that you're keeping yourself prepared if something does happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. And, you know, look, we've got over 61 million Americans who are traveling by car throughout this week, according to AAA. So even if you're doing short pit stops, something to really think about, you know, again, not leaving a kid, even if it's a preteen in the car, they're legally allowed to. But it's just not a great idea unless they're going to be leaving the air conditioning running. And now you're talking about having your car, you know, become potentially a target of theft. The whole thing, just, you know, get the kids out of the car. Don't leave the pets in the car. All of that, definitely something to think about. Richard Brannigan is here from the Red Cross, and let's talk about swimming safety. Drowning, man, it can literally happen so quickly and silently, which is terrifying. How do we become water smart, Richard?
I think knowing your surroundings, knowing your limitations, if you're a family that's, you know, comfortable in around the water, you have a backyard pool, you're in a lake situation, there are lifeguards, and we recommend if you're going to swim in a public area, swim in an area that has lifeguards. Otherwise, you have to, as a parent or guardian, you really have to stay vigilant and don't assume that your swimmer that you saw, you know, jump in the lake is going to be okay on their own. Things do happen in water. There You could cramp up, you could lose your balance, you could go underwater and become very, very unnoticed very quickly. So we ask people to be vigilant, stay in the public areas. There are a lot of public beaches out there, both locally and state-run beaches. They fill up very quickly around the holidays, so you need to be careful. And stay in the designated swim areas. Very often we hear about drownings that happen, especially over a holiday weekend. And often those are situations where someone is swimming in an area that's unguarded by water safety personnel, and therefore not in the eyes of those that are trained to render assistance if needed. And often that's the problem.
Yeah. And it's interesting because we're always thinking, Richard, about the kids, right? You know, they're the most vulnerable swimmers sometimes, some of the kind of weaker swimmers, even if they've gone to swim lessons, which is a great idea, obviously. But do you worry at all, especially when you're talking about this holiday week and extreme heat and people celebrating America's 250th and Independence Day, but drinking and being out by the water? Like adults.
Yeah, I think adults acting in a way that is not responsible does increase the possibility that they'll run into trouble. And those are the ones you hear about. And it's very, very unfortunate. They may not be strong swimmers to start with. Whether or not they are, if they're impaired by alcohol, that will have an impact on them. Same with boaters. It's the same philosophy of being just a little bit more responsible and vigilant around your family and friends, and having an awareness of where you are and what you should be doing in that location. Staying cool is one thing, and being responsible is certainly another thing that we all need to do.
And if you are in open water, this one I think is not what we would naturally do, Richard, but it's a great reminder that if somebody in an emergency needs to have an object like to pull them in, not to go and bring it out yourself, but to kind of throw it or have them reach for it, right?
Yeah, I remember my lifeguard training with the Red Cross, and it was reach, throw, row, go. And, you know, you don't want to be pulled in or pulled under. Again, you want to have swimmers in areas that are guarded, if at all possible, or have a responsible adult looking over them that can reach them when they need it.
Just pulling up some statistics that we were talking about, unfortunately, drownings that do occur, especially in the warmer months of the year. So natural bodies of water account for a large share of the drownings across America. If you look at drownings for people under the age of 20, so you are including teenagers on this list, 47% of them happen in fresh water, lakes, rivers, ponds, canals, quarries. And 69% of teenagers who have drowned in fresh water, that is compared to a much, much lower percentage to pools. And I don't mean to bring down, you know, the vibe of this show, but I think it's important. We're talking to Richard Brannigan, who is the CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut and Rhode Island region. I think it's important to note that, Richard, because so often we are comfortable with what we know. You brought up backyard pools. Right. So we know the pool at grandma and grandpa's house, or we know about the pool at the YMCA. We even know about Long Island Sound. We go to our beaches all the time. Right. But the second you are in an unfamiliar place, or you're going to even an Airbnb that has a pool, or you're going to a beach that isn't the Sound, it's the Atlantic Ocean, your I'd say risk of something going wrong because we're just not thinking about water safety, I think increases. I mean, and the data kind of proves it. So I think that's also something to really think about, just the fact that when you're in unfamiliar bodies of water, even if it seems like it's calm, a lake, I mean, gosh, unless a boat goes by, lakes are pretty calm. But it's different than Long Island Sound. It's different than your backyard pool. And I think that's where sometimes people get complacent.
Yeah, Melissa, I agree. Swimming at a beach on the Atlantic Ocean or Gulf of Mexico or anything you're unfamiliar with, the riptides, the undertow, you don't have an undertow in a lake to worry about, especially one you swim at all the time. And it may be operated by your town, Parks and Recreation Department, or you're in the Long Island Sound. we typically don't have those tidal impacts in the Long Island Sound to worry about. So when people are on vacation, when they're in uncharted, unfamiliar areas, they really need to pay attention to where the lifeguards are and listen to their warnings, watch the flags on the beach that will talk about riptides and point you in the right direction to stay alert even more. But staying in areas that are guarded, the folks that work at those locations are highly trained. They are lifeguards and water safety personnel that go through rigorous training and fitness. And those are the folks you want to be near. And those are the folks who you want to protect your family. If you're swimming in areas that are unprotected, then it's up to you as the responsible adult to find a way to make sure that you're not assuming that your children know what they're doing in those locations and that they're venturing out into the water too far to be protected.
Yeah, and you brought up rip currents, Richard, which unfortunately they can happen. Maybe we don't think of them happening, you know, here in Connecticut always. But how do you handle if you get caught up in a rip current?
I think, you know, the idea would be to download the Red Cross app and look for guidance, but also to follow the instructions. There are instructions on beaches that have or are susceptible to rip currents. And those guidance typically, those points include swimming with the current for a period until you can swim your way out of it. That's assuming you're a strong enough swimmer. So the rule of thumb is not to get caught in the first place, to be aware ahead of time as to what those tendencies might be and what the locations are. And often, as you were describing, often people are swimming in areas that are undesignated, they're unfamiliar with, and that's a combination that's very, very dangerous.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, especially, I hate to say it, Richard, when I was working up in Vermont, I was working up at CBS there in television for a while, and every summer, it used to kill me, without fail, teens would drown in rivers. And always the first reaction was, you know, oh, they must have been drunk. And I'm like, no, they're not. It's very unfamiliar. And there were never any lifeguards. It was unfortunate. It was horrible. And it happened every summer. And I just looked it up at my old station just now as you were talking. And you know, lo and behold, it just happened a couple weeks ago. Another teen who drowned in a river. It happens, I think, again, in unfamiliar places. But to your point, when you don't have even oversight or you don't have somebody who is watching, even going back to the pools, you know, it's not enough to be like, yeah, no, I'm up here. I got them. You know, like we got kids in the pool. All right, I'm up here. But now I'm going to sit on my phone. You're just as useless as somebody who walked away from the pool, in my opinion. You know, if you're going to be up there watching kids at a pool, don't be on your phone. You know, actually watch them, because it just takes a second. I know I have a 7-year-old, and he likes to rough it. He's a boy. He loves to roughhouse with his friends. And so they'll, you know, pull each other under. And I'm like, all it takes is, and they don't know. They don't realize that it's like, hey, buddy, you're going to kill him. Could you stop? You know, like, but you've got to be on top of them, because it just takes a second.
Melissa, it does. And, you know, the rivers are one thing. Someone could slip and hit their head on a rock. We don't like to go in that area, but you mentioned quarries earlier. People are looking for ways to cool down in these extreme heat situations.
And adventures off the map a little bit. Like, they want to get away from beaches a little bit. They want to have an experience, but sometimes that's without supervision.
Right. Exactly.
Know.
And they just be aware of your surroundings and, you know, look out for each other, making sure that you're going to cool off in areas that make sense. As you said, you know, if you're the responsible adult and you're watching a pool, then you should not be on your phone and you should not be drinking and you should be aware of what could happen and do a visual check of who's there. Use a buddy system if there are a number of people in the pool at the same time. So a lot of different tips, a lot of different opportunities to be safe.
Yeah, definitely. And last thing, Richard, how important is it, especially if you are leaving Connecticut and you're traveling anytime this summer, to track the weather?
Oh, storms pop up in these extreme conditions. Storms are much more frequent. We saw a storm that passed through the state earlier earlier today, severe thunderstorms. Stay alert to the radio and to wherever your news source is, like this one, and making sure that you're prepared to take shelter when necessary, that you're preparing your surroundings. If you have certain loose things in your yard or on your porch or so forth, just be a little bit more vigilant for yourself and your family and your loved ones and your neighbors. You know, that person next door that's on their own that you check on periodically, check on them a little bit more often. Make sure they stay hydrated. Make sure they stay cool. Make sure they stay informed. And if you're doing all of these things and you have some extra time and you're not traveling, you could always sign up to donate blood, Melissa. So there's always something you can do to be more resilient and help the community in the process.
Yeah, no question. And we'll have more information certainly on our website, voiceofct.com, about everything Richard mentioned and more. Richard Brannigan, I want to thank you for what you do, CEO of the American Red Cross Connecticut and Rhode Island region. And thank you for giving us the time here. Stay cool out there.